Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday. Steen on Sports. We are coming to you from the Now Hiring Iowa studio. Or I should say I am. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter. I keep saying us. This is hard on these days that Scott's not. If you want to get a hold of me, you can go to Twitter at 1700TheChamp and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700TheChamp. Website 1700TheChamp.com. All the podcasts are up. Had them taken care of. Twins baseball, 6:07 first pitch. So no pregame. You're going to go right into game time when we get done with the show today. Saturday, it's the Blue Jays again at 1:30. And Sunday, Insider Twins pregame is at 11:30, so 12:30, 12:40, like 1 o'clock, I do believe, if I got that right. Hope everybody had a great day. What a beautiful day outside. Sounds like we're going to get a little bit of rain this weekend and some nice temperatures and still some nice time to get outside and do what you need to do. I know that I have my second golf outing this weekend. I'm golfing on Sunday, hopefully with the boys and Jen, I do believe. I don't know that for sure because no one tells me anything. They just tell me when I need to go. As always, I want to thank the sponsors of our show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. What else do I have? There's so many things going on. It's football related and golf related and everything. I think you have to start because I've been getting kind of knocked around a little bit at the real job about not talking about hockey very much. I caught the last period and a half last night, and oh my goodness, amazing stuff! And kudos to the Florida Panthers. Vegas had a lot of chances to get that to 3-0. It's fun. Playoff hockey is fun. It is just, it wears you out. If you ever sat behind me or you're sitting in front of me and I move with plays. It's a horrible thing. It's been a dramatic thing for me since I was little, man. I would sit and watch TV and my parents would say there'd be sports and I'd be, when they hit the ball and they'd run, I'd lean. And when they're race cars, or lean, all that. So I get involved when it is. But some pretty exciting stuff with NHL hockey. Once again, and I said the same thing with the NBA, and we'll talk about the NBA here in just a second as well. I love the matchup. You could get different matchups that fit into television and money for these sports. And I would say the same for, I mean, you have Vegas and Florida. I mean, they're it's not the hotbed of fandom in the NHL. It's not bad, but it's just, I mean, it's different. And Denver and Miami, once again, not the hotbed of what these television conglomerates would like to see, but you cannot complain about the product because the product has been it's just been amazing. So I do believe that hockey goes again. Let me check the schedule. I think they go again on Sunday. I take that back. They go again on Saturday. So they play Saturday and then they play Tuesday. So Vegas back in Florida and leading 2-1. So game 4 back in Florida tomorrow night. So you're gonna get NBA basketball tonight, and you get that tomorrow night. I wanted to talk a little bit about NBA basketball. I listen to a lot of sports radio. Either driving in my headphones when I'm working at my desk, just listening to other shows, trying to keep up with other shows. What are other shows doing? And I swear that they sometimes, now hear me out, I swear sometimes they think that people, once they listen to them, so the NBA had, when was the last? The last game was Wednesday night. It was Wednesday. And the game before that was Sunday. I swear that these, some of the sports people out there don't think that people listen on a day and remember what they said. And then after another game, hence Wednesday, and after that show on Thursday, do a 180 from what they said the time before. Well, this is, you know, this is why that's the turning point of this series with Denver. I mean, they poo-pooed Denver after they lost that second game and spent two whole days just ripping on Denver, going, what were they thinking? Coach Malone, can he coach? Can he do this? Can he do that? And after saying the same thing of, oh, after that first game, what's Miami going to do? And then once Miami did, they're like, well, that's not it. They don't realize that we listen to their shows and hear them say things. And then they do a 180 and say the exact opposite. After the game on Wednesday. And after the first game, after the game on Wednesday, and if you take a really good close look at game two that Denver won, I mean, that Miami won in Denver, you're talking about 8 minutes that the Miami Heat played really, really well and the Denver Nuggets didn't. And in the first game and the third game, Denver played all but 5 minutes. Really, really tough. And then for 5 minutes in the fourth quarter in both of those games, you know, kind of let the lead get back down to under 10. It was single digits on Wednesday. And then they got their way back. If I was going to talk about anything today, that's what I would be talking about. I'd be talking about Denver needs to figure out in the fourth quarter. They do it great in the third quarter. If they're down in the first quarter, they get caught up in the second quarter. They have a great third quarter. They've been up big. They lost a game because of it, because of how nonchalant that they played that fourth quarter. And they did it a little bit on the game on Wednesday. I mean, they had a 20-point lead. It got down to 9, but there just wasn't enough time. They were good enough. But so today they're saying, well, you know, we still don't know the true meaning of these three games. So tonight's game, you know, Miami has to do this and Denver's going to have to recover and do some of this and back and forth. And listen, I guarantee you that Miami can win tonight. The thing that Miami is missing more than anything in the world is Tyler Hero, just because you have to guard him. Denver has people that are on the floor that can go and help because of some people that Miami has to have on the floor because of the injury to Tyler Hero. And I get that. And Eric Spoelstra is doing the best he can. And sometimes he brings a guy in and he can exploit Denver on offense. And it works for a little bit. But guess what he can't do? He can't play defense. So then Denver exploits that person on defense and you're right back where you were. If you bring a defensive guy in, yeah, you can slow Denver down. You can make them, get them into situations that they don't like to be in, and you can do that. But guess what he does on the other end? He allows them to play even better help defense than they already do because he's no threat to score. At least Tyler Hero is one thing. When he's on the floor, he can score 20 points a game. He can hit big threes. He can do all that. That's his job. On the defensive end, not as big a deal, but at least he's giving them something above and beyond what they're getting on one side or the other. So, listening today, people are still, we just don't know what Denver is. Well, you know what we do know? Besides 8 minutes of not hitting a shot, a couple of really bad turnovers, maybe not their best lineup on the floor. For if you wanted to blame Coach Malone for anything, that might have been maybe he spent too long with a certain group together. 8 minutes. Denver's been better than Miami at every point in time except for 8 minutes, and it caught Denver in a bad moment. They lost by three. They had a shot with somebody who's a really good three-pointer that went in and out, or the game's tied and it goes to overtime. But all anybody talks about is, well, you saw Miami took a game in Denver, and then they had a chance last night. They got it to nine. Listen, that's not a chance. Being up by nine, being down by nine with 3 minutes left, after this has already happened once before in game two, it's not happening. Now, I listened to a lot of people today as well. What has to happen? I think they have to be more aggressive on defense. They cannot allow Joker to stand in the middle of the floor and play defense on everybody. And that's what they did the other night. He was roaming on defense. You have to make him do something. And once again, this series, if it's all said and done and Miami wins, man, that is if they win this championship, it's probably it's not the biggest upset because it's not. But Denver is a better team. They're a more physical team. They're a better team. They're not missing anybody. They don't have a player that can't play. Miami still, they're an eight seed. They're an eight seed for a reason. They've had to win multiple games on other opponents' floors to get where they're at because they've never had home court. What they're doing is amazing. They're doing it with their the way they play, their culture, their coaching staff, and Jimmy Butler, who, I mean, he had a good game. He didn't have a great game. He didn't have a Jamal Murray game. He didn't have a Joker game. He didn't have a game like he did against Boston to take care of that. And I think part of that is that he has, when he's on offense, he doesn't have a matchup that helps him. If you screen, you can't screen Aaron Gordon with whoever Michael Porter's guarding because they switch. You can't screen with whoever Joker's guarding because they can switch, or you let Joker be in the middle of the floor. They're just smaller than what the Denver Nuggets are. Do I think that Miami has, I give them 55-45 to win this game tonight. But the crazy thing about it is I'm thinking in my head that they almost have to play a perfect game. They can't go 11 for 39 from three-point range. They have to get to the free throw line. They need to get somebody on the Nuggets in foul trouble. And to be really honest, I do believe the one thing that they have to do, and if somebody would have told you this, you probably would have said that is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard in my life. But they have to, at some point in time, have to figure out a way to not let, and I'm pulling up Bruce Brown. Nope, not Bruce Brown. Wrong guy. Who is my guy that I'm thinking about? He's from Kansas. It's Evan. Why isn't that on there? No. Brown, Christian Brown. He was from Kansas. They can't let Christian Brown beat them. See, and here's the crazy thing. I heard a bunch of people say, it looks like Braun to me, but a lot of people were saying Brown today. I have no, Christian, I apologize to you, my friend. He's 6'6", 220 pounds, and he is a wrecking ball when he's on the floor. And it's incredible what he's accomplishing when he is on the floor. The other night when Miami beat them, He had 11 points. He played 27 minutes. When you go back to last night and you look at that game, going to the, hold on, I'm getting to the box score here. My goodness gracious, you would think that I was, that I had a little mouse running in here making my computer go because it's just not wanting to work fast today. So you look at the box score last night, 109. They win by 15. He only had 5 points, but he was plus 8 when he was on the floor. Now, see, that's, hold on. Last night, he was plus 2 on the floor, had 15 points, had 4 rebounds, had an assist, had a steal, had 1 turnover, hit his free throw, was 7 for 8 from the floor. If they get that, because here's what they're not, and here's the other thing, I got 20 seconds. Here's the other thing that Denver has to be scared to death of. Michael Porter hadn't had a good game yet, and Denver's up 2-1. If he comes out tonight, he was 1 of 7 last night. Still had 7 rebounds, still plays tough defense. But if he gets to his 18 to 20 points a game, you are not beating Denver. They just haven't. They're up 2-1, and besides Joker, no one's played 3 good games. You've had a couple of people play a couple, but that is it. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Plenty more sports to talk about. We got NFL. We got Major League Baseball. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Hope everybody had a great day. If traffic was anything like me getting here, please be safe getting home. There was a lot of traffic out there this afternoon. It is Friday, so keep that in mind. Everybody wants to get the weekend started. So as Loverboy, a Loverboy fan, everybody's working for the weekend, and they are ready to go. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up and ready to go. You're going to hear something new. So in the radio business, which I do not know a lot of, I think there's things to be done with bumper music. So the bumper music coming in, the bumper music going out. And at this point in time, when you hear some of the last ones I did, which have been the last 5 or 6 shows, you're just going to hear me. No bumper music coming in and no bumper music coming out. Just so that doesn't, you don't think that something's definitely wrong. I just thought I'd let you know that. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have Twins Blue Jays, 6:07 first pitch tonight. And our first sponsor to get talked about on the show today will be Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also, take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. Just did that and got the opportunity to use both the mobile app and transferring some items online as well. Worked perfectly. Customer service, unbelievable. All the people that I worked with, unbelievable. Once again, don't wait and open an account with Northwest Bank, commitment that you can count on, member FDIC. Okay, just a couple of things. One of the biggest topics, and we talked about this a lot this weekend, and it was LIV in the PGA, and we are now 3 days, three and a half days into this and where we're at. And I had taken some photos of some comments today. I just wanted to go through a couple of them and give my 2 cents. a lot of what's been said is that nobody liked the format. Nobody liked some of the stuff with Liv. They didn't, you know, it didn't fit with what the PGA did, and it didn't. There was a lot of stuff going around. Listen, there are some of us that don't like the stuffiness of professional golf. There probably are more than what you could imagine. I want to be able to go. Maybe I don't want the Waste Management Open, whatever that par three hole is, on every hole. But you know what? No other sport you have to be quiet and not, you know, I don't get any of that. I get it. Man, I have, when I play golf with our friends and stuff, we love to have music. We like to have fun. I don't understand, except for a lot of these are being played at country clubs, but country clubs allow shorts to be worn as long as you have a collar. I mean, there's just a lot of things that I don't like about the stuffiness of the PGA Tour. Liv came out, and the problem that everybody had, I think they didn't like the way the players kind of maybe underhandedly left the PGA, you know, more in secret, and in, you know, they knew for a while longer than anybody. Maybe that hurt some feelings, and I get that. I understand it to a certain point. Your feelings can't be hurt enough to where you want to punish people for leaving for an opportunity. I don't understand that part. They left for an opportunity. A lot of them, some of them left for money and pure money only. But there are Bubba Watson's one, Dustin Johnson's one, I think Brooks Koepka to a certain extent. There's a bunch of them. They left because they wanted to spend more time with their families and didn't want to have to drag their families around all the time. And they were getting paid up front. It wasn't about winning. It was trying to prove a point that, hey, this is my thought, is Liv, if you take Greg Norman out, Greg Norman had an agenda. And I think he bamboozled these guys into thinking that he didn't, and he did. If you want to look for a villain, Greg Norman's the villain, not the players. Here's the incredible thing is I was a huge Greg Norman fan. I love the way Greg Norman played golf. I love the person that he is and the things that he'd done. I had shark shirts. I had golf balls, all of that. But listen, he did this for a reason. He thought he was wrong somehow with the PGA and couldn't get into a more of a management thing with the PGA. And he was angry. So instead of trying to get better or work his way through, he tried to screw him. And some of the people in the PGA took fault with that. Don't buy into, well, the reason a bunch of these guys didn't jump was because Saudi Arabia money. Because they're taking Nike money and they're taking TV money. And there's so many things that are horrible about all kinds of stuff. So don't buy into it was only because of the Saudi Arabian money that everybody said no to. Not true. It's just not true. The other parts of this is there were some things that I liked. And one of the comments today, it's Kyle Porter. I really like Kyle Porter. I like some of the stuff that he writes. He said, listen, I wanted to get ahead of this one for himself, and I agree with him. You know what I liked about Liv? I like the team aspect. I think there should be times, he goes, some of my favorite tournaments in the PGA are when you're teaming up with a partner and you're playing. A lot of people love that format. I love that format. I love the team format. The way they did it was, and this is something that people had, the way they did it was silly and unserious. And I get that. But I always thought it was incredibly short-sighted that the tour never explored teams as a revenue source asset, and I hope they do under this new structure. You can take stuff from what they did on Liv, and you can incorporate them without saying that you agreed with what they did. They went behind people's backs and negotiated with people. gave them deals. I have not heard one of the people that left for Liv that said that anybody reneged on a deal with them. So it wasn't like they didn't get paid their money. No one reneged. I'm not listening to the, hey, Saudi Arabia, look at all these bad things they do. Man, the NBA, everybody, there's China money everywhere. We do stuff that people don't know about that you would roll over if you knew. And we still take everybody's money. There are sponsors that do stuff that aren't right, and we still take their money. It's you can't use that either. They did it behind closed doors, and nobody liked it. And so people rallied around the PGA against the LIV Tour in Saudi Arabia. And then what happens? The PGA went behind all the players, all the people that are part of the hierarchy, all the top players who stuck their necks out, and I'll give Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods, and they told them nothing. They did the same thing to get this deal that LIV did to get their players on their squad and not with the PGA, and everybody thinks it's fine because, well, it's retribution. No, it's not. If it wasn't fine for what they did, it's not fine for how the PGA just did this. The fact that Commissioner Moynihan can sit in and say, well, it looked good for golf. And, you know, I like that part too, but I didn't like this part. And I didn't like that part, but I really like this part. And, oh, yeah, by the way, it's really nice to have $200 billion come funneling in. So not only in the first thing, well, so the golfers can make more money. You don't think the commissioner and everybody else that's running the PGA isn't making a boatload of money? It's so gross on all sides. And they're trying to pull the wool over your eyes and say, you know what, they did it to us, so now we're doing it to them. If they don't let, after all this is said and done after this year, if they put circumstances for the LIV guys to come back in, people should start dropping out of the PGA and try to find something else and try to go to the Saudi money guy and say, the PGA is not what you want either, because they just did the same thing that they blamed you for. They did it to us, and now just expect us to go along because you're funneling money in here. If you have enough people that don't want to do that as well, you're going to make these people change, and that's what needs to happen. Forget about all the bullcrap stuff that you're hearing. And you know, I don't care about Greg Norman. Greg Norman can't golf anymore. He's not golfing anyway. He's not on the senior tour. He's not out doing anything. Jack Nicklaus hosts a memorial tournament and gets to hit shots when they go to the British Open and stuff because he's a legacy of golf. I get that. But it doesn't give him a right to have opinion on stuff. He doesn't play anymore. It's not his time. And I love Jack Nicklaus. Now, Rory, with Tiger getting hurt, Rory's kind of been left out here on his own. He wasn't told about this. And I agree with a lot of people today. And there's no bigger fan of Tiger Woods than me. He changed. I hated golf. I never watched hardly a minute of golf. I would watch on ESPN, or I'd watch that. I follow Jack Nicklaus. I followed Arnold Palmer. I thought they were amazing. I wrote reports about them when I was in school because I like to write about sports. The only person in the last 15 years that matters in golf is Tiger. And the last time I checked, and this is going to pain me, he hurt his foot and his leg. He didn't hurt his mouth or his brain, and he has said nothing. He hasn't commented. He hasn't anything. He left. Not only did the PGA Tour and Commissioner Moynihan leave Rory McIlroy out to dry, Tiger Woods just left Rory McIlroy out to dry. So you let Phil Mickelson make fun of things. You let some other people make. You let Bryson DeChambeau, who, this one pains me too because I love Bryson DeChambeau. He is an idiot on a microphone. the words, I mean, I'm listening to Eddie Murphy going, do you understand the words coming out of your mouth? Because he does not. The things that he said were some of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And I know for a fact, after listening to his podcast and listening to him be interviewed, he is not a dumb individual. But his takes on this and live and why they did it were incredibly, incredibly stupid. It gives me a headache because I'm yelling that it was that bad. But here it all comes leaking out today. Where's Tiger? Tiger hasn't said anything. The most power, I'm not sure right now that he is not the most powerful person in sports. If he's not, there's only a couple other people. And if you want to throw LeBron in there, I give you kudos for that. I'll take that. You want to take Patrick Mahomes or maybe somebody else can throw some names out, I'll take that. Tiger Woods is still the most relevant person in golf, and he can barely play anymore. Everybody goes to him. He doesn't usually have bad ideas. First thing that people say, well, look at his personal life. This doesn't have anything to do with his personal life. I'm talking about what he has done on the golf course, what he's done outside of the golf course for the PGA, for golf, for businesses of everybody that he represents. Every time he represents something, it flies off the charts. Does that make him a good husband? No. Does it make him a good father? From everything that I hear, he's a wonderful father. Does it make him a role model to some young men? Probably not, because I want my role model to be the full circle. And you can't be a jerk in your personal life to somebody that bore your children or whoever else. But I'm also haven't been in the spotlight since I was 12 years old or 7 years old on the Mike Douglas show. I haven't been in the spotlight for that long to know that maybe being out in life's not as easy as it is. When I walk up and down the street, nobody says anything to me unless maybe they have a problem with the property. And that's it. I don't get scrutinized for every word that comes out of my mouth. But I want him to come out and say what he's feeling. He can solve it by what he says. He's either going to make it go away or he's going to make it a lot worse, and then he's going to be in charge of making it a lot better. I just want to see which one it is. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Potpourri coming up. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Last segment of this Friday, flying by. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Twins baseball tonight, 6:07 first pitch, playing the Blue Jays up in Toronto. They also play them on Saturday and on Sunday. Our next sponsor is Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. They make my life easier and my staff, not even my staff, my coworkers, they're right there with me. So much easier for them to take care of our buildings with their technology. Great company. Okay, so a little potpourri, and I try to potpourri just kind of go in and out here. I don't know if you seen, but Paolo Banchero, who was a a rookie in the NBA this year. He's at the finals. He's doing some interviews. He was interviewing the Joker, and the really funny thing, I'm sitting here looking at the picture, and they're standing side by side, and he's just as big as the Joker. That young man is going to have a really, really, really good year. This is one of the things, this is Ryan Russillo, and he said this on social media today, give him credit for this. He was talking about a lot of the NBA first round draft picks and the fact that a lot of them are not even working out for teams. And you're talking about some of these kids that are in this draft that to the naked eye, to most of us, nobody even has any idea in the world who they are. Most of them have played a year, maybe in college, maybe two. I mean, you have some that are older than that. And he's saying, you know, they want nothing to do with the pre-draft process or any of that. And Wembanyama is still playing in his tournament for his team that he's been playing on. And he's the number one pick, and it's not even close. I mean, San Antonio's just, I mean, they are giddy to, I don't know. I think that's a lot of things that you're seeing in college now. And if you want to put a little bit of blame on NIL and the transfer portal or any of that, here's where I'll cut some slack and say that I agree. I think it makes a lot of these kids, and they're, I don't know what a good, you know, if it was their family, I think I'd be okay. But I think it's more hanger-ons than anything. Being in with NIL and the money involved and in the transfer portal, if you're not happy, I think they get a lot of bad advice. I think it looks bad. And all Wembanyama is doing is playing basketball. And people say, well, he's so skinny. He's been playing against men forever. That's why the Joker and Luka Doncic is so good at such a young age in the NBA. They've been playing against grown men since they were 12 years old, playing up on the teams that traveled and the teams that played on the Olympics and all that. That's the difference between them and some of the kids that are in the United States who get coddled when they're really young and coddled all the way through. And it's not everybody, but it's a lot. When you get to the NBA, you don't get coddled anymore. It's not like playing in college where, you know, you have a game in the middle of the week and a game on the weekend. You know, you don't have to take care of yourself. The team's taking care of you. Man, it's these kids are not ready for being in the NBA. It doesn't mean they're not ready talent-wise, because some of these kids are amazing. But mentality-wise, processing information-wise, not even close. Wembanyama, been doing this for 5 years, playing against 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25-year-olds. It's not even close when you do that. And here's one, and this one got me today. And I feel so sorry. And this was in the New York Times from the Athletic, and it's a 10-year-old. Whose father calls him Baby Gronk. He's a 10-year-old whose father's pitching him as the next big thing in college. He's 10. He's a real athlete. He's not a normal kid. He's been trained and programmed since he was 6 years old. We put 5 or 6 days a week of training. He eats his diet. He eats clean food, salmon, brown rice. He's in a routine. He's a real athlete. He's not a normal kid. And the first thing, Lisa Guerrero, huge fan, give her kudos for this. That's what Todd Marinovich was. That's what his family was, his parents, or dad at least. We're going to program this kid to be a quarterback. And you left out all the things that are important of being a kid. Learning how to be social. Learning how to get acclimated to different surroundings and different friend groups and all of that. It doesn't work, folks. Your body is your body. You can't take a 10-year-old body and try to make it an 18-year-old body. Because sooner or later, one of two things are going to happen. His body's going to reject it, or the young man is going, or a young woman is going to reject it. And one of the things, and I know that, you know, just listening, sometimes people, you know, you get turned off because I like to talk about Caitlin. One of the things that if you know Caitlin and her high school days, I watched her play soccer and I watched her play basketball when she was even younger than a freshman, 7th and 8th grade. I would have told you at that point in time that she was going to be an Olympic soccer player. She was that good. She was just different from everybody else. On the soccer field, she was doing the same thing. She was seeing two plays ahead or two passes ahead. It was amazing. Having somebody at 10 years old and trying to train them to be a professional athlete is even dumber than Greg Norman. I don't understand. The other thing that surprised me today, and this is where the NFL is, and I don't know where the mindset comes from. We have disavowed running backs in the NFL. We can't pay them anymore because we can stick anybody in there. Dalvin Cook has done nothing but perform for the Minnesota Vikings. And the money that's out there for him to get wouldn't even place him in the top 50 of all football players, let alone his position. And they're letting him go, a proven talent on a team that we talked about yesterday, that as I don't know if what they said, that they were 14-4, whatever they were last year, there's a good chance they could be the exact opposite. They could be 4-14 every game. They were outscored in the majority of three quarters of every game at a number that would astound you. It was well over 100. And they're letting him go. Of all the stats that were out there today, so before I tell you the stat, I'm going to say congratulations to the Oklahoma Sooners for winning women's softball. I do believe that was their third consecutive. In 3 years of getting there, three seasons, including the run all the way through the championship, the Oklahoma Sooners have scored 1,718 points, runs, sorry. Their opponents, 241. One more time. 1,718 runs to 241. That is, I don't even know what that is. It is so much, I don't even know what that is. I don't know where you've seen dominance in a 3-year period of anywhere something near that. And I've watched these other teams. When those top teams are playing other top teams, they're scoring 7, 8, 9 runs. So it's not just that Oklahoma can score 1,700 runs. The amazing thing is they've only given up 241 in three seasons. That's 80 a season. Come on. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here at 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. B Styles coming in here at 5:21. I haven't got to talk to him in 4 weeks. I'm looking forward to that. I got the next segment. I got Potpourri in the last. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. We are almost to the weekend. At least I hope you guys are. I'm an hour away, but it's my pleasure to take that hour and be with you. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM. 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The website's 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up and ready to be listened to, so check those out wherever you download your podcasts. We have Minnesota Twins baseball tonight, 6:07. You also will get Minnesota Twins on Saturday and Sunday, 1:30 on Saturday, 11:30 inside Twins pregame, probably a 1 o'clock, 1 or 1:30 on Sunday as well. So take advantage of that. This next segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 500 jobs are open on the website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking keep both the staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. Appreciate that Palmer Group is a part of this program, as always. Okay, so just to hit some points here, with everything that is going on today, I got some really interesting potpourri stuff when we come back in. But let's talk a little bit. You have the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets game is on tonight. It's going to be an interesting game because it is a must win for the Miami Heat. Now, do they come out and overreact to that being a must win, or do they play consistently how they've always played? And I can see, you know, I can see this game going both ways. And I think Denver's going to be just to get a 3-1 lead and get that going back home is just as big to them. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch tonight, so make sure you catch that. This is one of the most interesting things that I've seen in a while. It was a stat of number of – I'm trying to get the whole number of times or number of games that have happened since someone in a Major League Baseball organization has thrown a complete 9-inning game. And these numbers are staggering. The Texas Rangers, it's been 2 games since they had somebody do it. Chicago Cubs, it's been 11 games. The Houston Astros, 19. Toronto, 28. KC, 31. Pittsburgh, 32. San Francisco, 46. And I thought, okay, those numbers are, wow, you know. Los Angeles Angels. Well, let's start here because these were all playoff teams. Chicago White Sox, 279 games. Philadelphia, 288 games. St. Louis, 291 games since someone's thrown 9 innings. The Angels, 294. Then it really jumps. You have the Los Angeles Dodgers, 410 games. Milwaukee Brewers, 643 games. The Nationals, 768 games. Minnesota Twins, 1,828 games. That is crazy. I talked a little bit in the last couple of days about sports in general and how they play out in the media. And a lot of people talk about media bias. And I have no idea. I have no idea if they're media biased. I have no idea if I have radio bias. I mean, here's the toughest thing about doing radio. I've got some opinions. and I'm willing to fight over my opinions. But I understand that when you have opinions that may not be what everybody else has, that is not good for mainstream anything. Mainstream media, mainstream talking at the water cooler at work, mainstream any. I mean, the way people react to maybe ideals or something that you have, and I'm not talking, and I'm not talking political at all. I'm just talking, I have ways that I like to see sports. I like ways I like to see people act in sports. I'm a little old school, but I'm coming around the corner, understanding that it's not the same, because I can be old school. And I think that's what's wrong with a lot of people, and people that sometimes I question. I questioned Jack Nicklaus the other day. I questioned Dick Vitale on a daily basis on some of the things. And I think that if I came out with, I understand my market. I understand my company. I understand a lot of things. I do this because I enjoy talking about sports. I'm not in it for money. I'm in it because I enjoy listening to myself talk for 3 hours a day. My greatest thing is that I have had the ability to get Scott comfortable and enjoying being in here 3 days a week, and having the ability to have somebody sitting across from you and talking, because that's all I ever knew. I was here with Wolfgang. I was here with Jeremy. And being by yourself, sometimes you get lost in everything that you want to talk about. And you have to figure that out. But I want to be honest, and trust me, and people, there's out there. I mean, I'm trying to figure out which one. Oh, it's right here. And that is true. And I'm willing to fight for my opinion. And I know my opinion is not what everybody likes. And I'm okay with that. But I'm not going to come on here and give you an opinion that I do not believe in, and say, you know what, this is, I'm going to do this today because I want to get in an argument with somebody. Now, there's one person in my life that will tell you that I do that a lot, and that is my wife, Jennifer. And sometimes that is true. And I'm trying to get better. And me saying I'm trying to get better, that I don't do that, this is what Jen would say. Not believing it. But I truly do believe that. And I just had somebody send this to me because we were talking about teams and working around teams and the PGA and Liv and you know, the turmoil with NIL and the turmoil and schedules today. I haven't even had a chance to talk about schedules today. NCAA football schedules, which are crazy. It's all this stuff is coming. And, you know, Scott and I were sitting in here before we went on the air yesterday, and we're like, man, you know that collegiate football, high school football starts in 2 months, maybe 2.5 months. NFL starts in just about 3. It's crazy. We're right there. I mean, the dog days of summer are almost over. The dog days of summer, which we consider in radio to be sports radio, is the dog days of summer, because I'm sorry, and I'm the biggest baseball fan in the world, but it's hard to talk about baseball 5 days a week for 2 hours. It's just not enough. Unless I had Randy Wehover sitting across from me 5 days a week, and then, boy, I'd talk about baseball forever. Somebody who listened to Randy and Scott and I the other day about what winning teams do. We really didn't talk about what winning teams do, but we talked about what losing teams do. And this is this person's thing that says, this is what winning teams do, or at least strive to do: compete. Okay, so right there, and I'm going to pick on some teams. Right there, you throw the Oakland A's out of the equation, because they're not competing. Have fun. There's a lot of teams out there. Teams that are 12 games over 500 and teams that are 20 games under 500 in a lot of different sports who do not look like they have fun. play together. I mean, that is, you look at some of the NBA playoffs. I'm trying to add some thought process to this. And you look at the teams that lost. And one of them is someone who I truly love watching and I have high regards for, and every other single person in the world, it seems, hates him, and that's Trae Young. And I think Trae Young has one of these things. I think he has fun on the floor, but I don't think he does a great job, or neither do his teammates, about playing together. Trust each other. Do you think Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers organization, or on the football field, all of them trusted each other last year, which might have led for them not making the playoffs? I believe that to be true. Accept their roles. It is the biggest issue in sports from ages 8 to 88. If you don't understand or accept your role, your team and you in general will not be successful in a sport, because you have to be able to recognize that. Embrace pressure. Horrible at it. Pressure changes me. Sometimes it changes me for the better. Sometimes it changes me for the worse. How you handle pressure is the way that you succeed in life. Play for each other. That's one of the toughest things, and the majority of complaints from youth sports is not only do the players themselves not play for each other, the parents don't buy in for everyone playing together for each other. It is a vicious circle. There's times when coaches don't believe in playing for each other. Play with confidence. You come to a 10-year-old baseball game, and just watching them walk into the dugout, walk to the outfield, and maybe throw a couple of times, I can almost guarantee you that I can pick the best 5 or 6 kids on the field without even seeing them play. One of the things that my parents taught me when I was younger was, don't ever go out and not have confidence that you can compete, succeed, not even if you can't, and not even if you fail multiple times. Never walk out the door thinking that you can't succeed. And boy, did I drive some people crazy with that. Defend with toughness. It's the biggest thing in the sport that I love to coach the most, which is basketball. Everything about basketball on the offensive and defensive side of the ball is about how tough you are or how much confidence you have. That's it. If you're not tough enough and you don't have confidence, you cannot play. Practice with a purpose. The funny thing is, if Scott was sitting across from me right now, this is my reaction to practice. Practice? I'm a scrimmage guy. I like coaching, teaching, and learning through scrimmage, not by drills. But I like drills too, but I like drills to get you in shape, not to do some other things. And it's probably the reason that I've never got to coach anywhere. Are accountable to teammates. Here's the most difficult thing that we face in this country right now, is we don't even know how to be accountable to ourselves. And by that I mean, there are some kids that don't understand how good they are or how good they could be. And there's others who don't understand how not good they are and how they may never, but they think they are. But that doesn't allow you to be accountable to your teammates. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. If you see somebody down, to be accountable to that person, you try to bring them up. If you see somebody that's doing something they shouldn't be doing, to be accountable means you go make sure that that doesn't happen. That's some of the toughest things in the world to do as an adult, let alone doing it as a young athlete. And one of the biggest problems, it is hard to hold people accountable as teammates when you're not getting help from coaches, family members, parents. It's something that should be taught. And when they're watching us and how we interact, why in the world would they think that that's the way to go? It doesn't happen very often. And I think that's why I look at, you know, we're going to go through when we start the season, we're going to go to the NFL and who's the great teams and who's the bad teams. And in the NFL, where they're getting paid millions and millions of dollars and making, I mean, the money that the NFL and college football are making, and some of the reasons the teams, they're like, well, they didn't have a quarterback and they didn't have, you know what? I think you can take this list and go, did they compete? Did they have fun? Did they play together? Do they trust each other? Do they accept their roles? Do they embrace pressure? Play for each other? You can take teams that aren't very good and you can say, you know what? They don't do that. Oh my God, there's no way they trust each other. It doesn't even look like they talk to each other. All these things are amazing that they happen at that level, at the highest level. And yet we're trying to teach it at the lowest level and we can't get it to work. And we're chastising parents and kids because we can't get it to work and we can't get it to work in the real world. That's a crazy thing with sports in general is just drives me incredibly batty. I've been waiting for this since I've been out. I finally get B Styles back in here. We have so much to talk about. I'm going to ask him a question. I may not even ask him a question. I may just let him go. And we're going to see what B has on his mind. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Brendan Styles coming up next. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Drive home safely, please. We want to enjoy the weekend. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Minnesota Twins baseball tonight, 6:07. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. They're future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, providing peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. It's been a while, all my fault, but we're all better now. Brendan Styles, he's at DB Styles on Twitter, is back in. B, how are you, brother?
I'm good, but before we get into anything, I got to ask, how are you doing?
I am doing outstanding. Yeah. I feel better now than I did when I was 40. So, and I'm old. Okay. I feel a ton better. Modern medicine and the people helping and everything are amazing. And thank you very much for asking.
Absolutely. I mean, that was probably the main reason for why we've been off here, but it's good to be back with you for sure.
Okay. So, I want you to pick. What do you want to start with? There's been so many things that have happened since we've been on.
I know. Well,
what's on top
of
your mind?
Like we got to probably go with the most recent thing, and that's kind of a local angle. And that's with all that scheduling that came out yesterday.
Yes.
Or at least them announcing the opponents.
Are you cool with Iowa having three games a year that are locked in?
Yeah.
I am too.
I am, because
I can't believe other teams didn't
want
it.
Those are the three games.
Yeah.
I know, and you can maybe throw Iowa State in there for non-conference purposes, but when it comes to Big Ten play, those, at least in football, those are the three games, because you have Minnesota. That's, and obviously me living here in Minneapolis now, like, that's a game where you're playing for Florida Roosevelt. You're playing for that pick every year. That matters. You throw in the Wisconsin game when they have played each other. I know there was a couple of years there because of leaders and legends that they didn't, but those games, at least in my lifetime, those games have always mattered. And now you have the Nebraska game that's been around for a decade. It's been played every Black Friday. That's a tradition that's going to continue. So, yeah, I think that from Iowa's perspective, I think it's a huge victory in that sense that they're going to be able to get those three teams. Now, what it does, if you do the math, is, okay, there might be some teams they play next year that they're not going to play again until 2027. And then conversely, there are some teams they play 2 years from now that they would play again the following year. But regardless, the way that they can set everything up, they're ensuring that that anybody who plays 4 years is going to get the opportunity to play everybody at least twice, once at home and once on the road. And I think from that perspective, it's great in terms of the scheduling and the fact that they were able to provide that for Iowa as well. I think that's a huge victory for them. The one thing I will say, though, is what's fascinating is when you look at next year with their home schedule, what they released with that. I graduated college in 2010. Wisconsin's the only team on Iowa's home schedule next season. They're the only team coming to Kinnick that was also in the Big Ten when I was in college.
Isn't that crazy? I was wondering if you were going to.
Because you got Nebraska, Maryland, and UCLA all coming next year. So, yeah, that's going to be something that might seem odd, but at the same time, you know, the way the schedule works, I mean, yeah, okay, they have those trips to USC and Ohio State next year, and that could be tough. But then the following year, you got Michigan and Penn State both coming to Kinnick Stadium. So I think that this is something that the schedules are going to be better. I think it's going to provide some marquee games every year at Kinnick Stadium. There's going to be some marquee road games every year. And I think that's what makes the sport exciting.
I've been waiting to ask you this question, and I'm just going to throw it out there. Did Gary Barta tap, or did somebody tap him?
Ooh, that is a good question. I'm guessing that it's somewhere in the middle, where there. My theory is it might have been mutual. And I think it's something where the change, I will say, and look, there are the things that he did for the athletic department that were well, but there's all those, like, everything, the whole laundry list, I don't need to go over because everyone knows what it is. You can't just ignore all that, you know, especially the lawsuit. So I think it's something where it was time, and it's something where I think that the person that they made the interim best gets, ultimately, I think she's going to end up probably getting the job. I know, obviously, they're going to have to do a national search. And if they do look at any outside candidates, I know Gene Taylor will probably be one of the first calls made. He's the AD at Kansas State. But I think that she's probably the front runner for that gig. And what's going to be really fascinating is the ramifications that this is going to have, maybe not right now, but down the road when you get to a point where, let's say, Kirk Ferentz decides to retire, or Fran McCaffrey decides to retire, or Lisa Bluter decides to retire, or I don't think Tom Brands will anytime soon, but there's going to be a day when he decides to. And whoever that next person is, they're going to have some big, important hires that they're going to have to eventually make.
Do you? I believe she's a slam dunk, because I've heard people that say behind the scenes – I mean, she is both accommodating and in your face. This is what's gonna This is what's gonna happen, and that's what they need. All the successful teams that are out there, even when they have big time head coaches, when you talk to individuals in the situation, the athletic director and the president of the university are the two that have the most power, and that's not what's happening in Iowa City right now.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I think I obviously have never met her, but from everything I've heard, I would agree in terms of her strength as a candidate, both right now being the interim when Gary does step down on August 1st. Then I think if she does end up getting the gig permanently, I think she would do well. And I think a lot of that stems from what I do know about her background. She was up here in Minnesota when the whole situation with Norwood Teak happened, and he was forced to resign. She basically had to clean that up to make way for who they have in charge now. So I think she's somebody that she's going to know exactly what she's getting into. She has the experience of the Big Ten. She's been in Iowa for the last year. And I think that if they do decide to stay in-house and go with her, I think that it would be a strong hire. So in that respect, I agree with you.
Yep. Once again, we're talking to Brennan Stiles. He's at DV Stiles on Twitter. Let's jump on hockey first.
Sure.
Kind of a misnomer last night that Vegas didn't close out that deal. Any chance Florida comes back?
Well, I mean, now there is, because it is 2-1, and, you know, all it takes is for them to rattle off a few goals tomorrow night to make it 2-2. But I do think at this point, Vegas probably over time, I don't know if it's something that Florida can sustain, but they definitely need to win that game last night. Otherwise, it was probably going to end up being a sweep if they didn't.
On the game tonight with the Miami Heat, mm-hmm. and the Nuggets, you know, first off, I have to ask you this one first. I mean, because you've been watching sports for a long time. I'm trying to go back in history and try to figure out if I could mold a couple of players. And I saw one today that I actually agreed with. A little bit of Sabonis and a little bit of Larry Bird and a little bit of Kevin McHale is what the Joker is. Can you think of something even more realistic? Because he does so many things that I never thought I would say this, but he is one of the most fun people I've ever watched play basketball.
I think what he's doing right now, especially when you consider what he did the other night, I'll go, and granted, I never saw these guys play because they played well before I was born, but you would probably remember them. Wilt Chamberlain and Oscar Robertson. Yeah. I think it's you know, if you were to combine those two, I think that's kind of what you have.
It's crazy.
And possibly even a little magic just in terms of the assist. But I would say this. What he's doing right now is incredibly unique. It's going to be interesting because if the Nuggets win this, and I think they're going to win this series, where would you end up putting him in that conversation? Because, like, if you think about, like, top five centers, like, that's hard to crack as is. Because you already have Kareem, you have Bill Russell, you have Wilt, you have Shaq, and you have Hakeem. I think those, you know, regardless of the order that you put those five in, I think that those are clearly your five best centers in the history of the game. But, you know, after that, I think he's got to be right up there. Tim Duncan, depending on how you view him, if you view him as a center, is probably in that next tier as well.
And they did things differently than all the guys that were above there. Those two, mm-hmm. Tim Duncan and the Joker, they see the game differently too. And it's, I don't know. And the game goes, you know, the rest of the people that we just said, the game didn't go through, or the game went through them. These guys have the ball in their hand. They don't need it to be thrown to them. He has the ball in his hand. That would separate him. Because Duncan needed that too. He's separated because he plays the center position like a point guard.
I will say that I do think the offense, to an extent, definitely goes to him. There's obviously those moments where they could just rely on Jamal Murray. And by the way, he had a huge game the other night too, also getting a triple-double.
Absolutely.
So, when you have those two guys going like they did the other night, I don't see how Miami can keep up. But as far as the series goes, but in terms of this bigger conversation that we're having with Jokic, to me, I think it's the fact that he has that ability to kick the ball back out to an open guy and to keep the offense humming like he does. I think that's what really makes him stand out because, you know, if he was just a points and rebounds guy, I mean, sure, we just listed off a bunch of centers that have been capable of doing that. But I think it's the fact that he's just as good or just as gifted of a passer as he is a scorer. I think that's what makes him stand out, especially right now in terms of what you're seeing him do and what you're seeing the Nuggets do.
In order for sticking with the Hawkeyes once again, in order for the Iowa Hawkeye baseball team to make that next step, because they're right on the step, is it just players? So it'd be just money? Is that the one part that is the most difficult for them, is just getting enough players? They ran out of pitching. They ran out of hitting.
I think that's probably a fair thing to say, but I think in terms of like what they need to accomplish, I think they got to get to a point where they can actually win the Big Ten. I know they've come close a few times, but if they could actually find a way to win the league, because then that gives them an opportunity to potentially, maybe not as a top 16 seed, but get a chance I guess they'd have to be a top 16 seed in order to host a regional in the first round. But to be in that position that Indiana State was in this year, I think that's what winning the league would ultimately do for them. And if they could do that and they could have that benefit of playing at Banksfield, then they might very well be able to take that next step and get to a point where they could compete for a super regional and possibly even a College World Series.
Yeah, I agree. And what a great season and what a great coach, just for the circumstances. When you look at some of the other teams that are still alive and their coaching, I don't think their coaching's better. I just think their programs are funded and do different things.
It's really tough for any Big Ten team in general, though, because like you've seen it, and I've seen it most of my life, which is when it comes to the College World Series. Like, yes, you'll see a few northern teams, but for the most part, all the teams that end up going to Omaha, they're from the southern part of the country, whether they come from Texas or they in the Southwest, or they come from the Southeast, or even like Southern California. So that's what kind of makes it difficult, especially because they could play baseball year round there. Whereas in a place like an Iowa or a Minnesota or somewhere here in the Midwest, that's a little more daunting. But you're right, they're close. And I don't think it's really going to have to take much more other than having more of that pitching depth and just having utility guys that could step in when you need them to. And they get a little of that. I think they're capable of taking that next step, especially with the leadership that they have.
I just have to – I mentioned this earlier in the show, and I know how much you like all kinds of sports. The Oklahoma Sooners won women's softball yesterday. Mm-hmm. In the last 3 years, B, they have outscored their opponents 1,718 to 241. That's incredible.
That's insane.
I cannot believe it. There's a lot of good softball teams in this.
Oh, yeah.
Not just in their conference, there's a lot of great softball teams, but in the country there are.
Right.
That is crazy numbers. I can't imagine. Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds you of what UConn would do in women's basketball.
Yes, it's that same thing. 26 seconds. On PGA side, Liv side, don't give a crap.
I'm kind of more in the don't give a crap, but it does amaze me that the PGA stooped to the level that they did.
You know what it did? It lets people in politics criticize you. You know how bad you have to be to have people in politics criticize you for something?
Yeah.
It's incredible. B, I have missed this. I'm glad you came on today. Can't wait to talk to you next week. We got plenty to talk about. We got great stuff coming up, my friend. I appreciate you.
All right. Sounds good. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. B Styles. Man, I have missed that. I love that passion. There's nothing like it. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700. The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. I got one more segment left. We got some potpourri before the weekend ends. I'll be right back in. Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment of this week and this Friday. Once again, drive home safely. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700. The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. And the website is 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up. You can go listen to them wherever you download your podcast. Twins Blue Jays, 6:07 tonight. And then Saturday, 1:30. And Sunday, Inside Twins pregame is at 11:30. I think that 11:30 to 12, 12:30. It's either 12:30 or 1 o'clock. On Sunday, I would like to thank all the sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building and Maintenance, and Palmer Group for being a part of the program. I couldn't do this program without you. It was great to get to talk to B Styles, Brendan Styles today. I appreciate it. Miss getting to talk to him. Just a little bit of potpourri, a little bit of what's going on for the weekend. You have basketball coming up. It's game four, and it's going to be exciting. I can't wait. Miami has to come out and they have to play well tonight. I mean, there is nothing more. That's it. They cannot let Denver get out to a double digit lead, because one of these games, Denver's not going to relinquish that lead. Almost took a 20-point lead down to 9 the other night, last night or two nights ago. Lost a big lead in the third quarter for Miami's only win. If the Nuggets don't do that, because I don't know if Miami can get their game at a level that they can beat the Nuggets if the Nuggets don't beat themselves. But that's happened a couple of times. So it's not like that is out of the realm of possibility. Just a little bit of potpourri. Reggie Bush is reportedly out at Fox. It sounds like they're bringing in Mark Ingram. I thought Reggie Bush was pretty good, and I've never heard of Mark Ingram talk. He's just been really quiet. It's a very interesting thing with Fox Sports and how they maneuver around. People are talking a lot about ESPN and some of the layoffs that are coming down the pike. That's going to be interesting. I don't know. Once again, I have no idea who Trevor Bauer is throwing pitches against, but he had another 7 innings pitch with 9 Ks. I saw that one today. This was the best headline that I saw between Saudi PGA Tour and LIV. There's only one thing clear about the relationship or partnership of those three. No one knows a damn thing. That's the part right there. If somebody's out there telling you what's going to happen, what parts are going to get pulled or what parts are going to put together or who's going to have to pay, don't buy it. Nobody knows. It's the craziest thing that you've ever seen, and it's not going to get any better. This one was really funny today. I always like to pick on my Bears and Vikings fans a little bit. Justin Jefferson needs 235 yards, receiving yards, and he would be have the most receiving yards of any Bears player ever. Have no idea how they thought that was relevant, but by golly, they did. This is one for me that someone sent me today from Warren Sharp, who I follow and enjoy. It is malpractice to not allow a professional NFL quarterback to audible and adjust protections. Always reads as completely insane when a team changes offensive coordinator. It's reported that the quarterback is finally allowed to slide pass protection. Ridiculous that Lamar Jackson was not given this freedom. In 4 seasons with offensive coordinator Greg Roman, Baltimore primarily huddled up and ran the play that was called. Under Moinken, Jackson can slide the pass protection to one side if he sees a defender blitzing, or switch a receiver's route if the cornerback lines up in a certain way. Or he can use his intellect and his experience to get out of bad plays. I told you Greg Roman was bad. Not that Greg Roman has always been bad, and not that Lamar Jackson could always handle that much information. But 5 years in, yes, it was bad. And it is not the way. It's just not the way that you can handle your business. You know, there are so many. It's so funny to read all of the different reactions to LIV into the PGA and all of that. And I gave you my 2 cents worth today. I mean, I would like to see team events. I love when they partner up. I don't care if it's PGA guys or PGA and LPGA combining and playing tournaments like that. I don't think these guys need to play 4 weeks a year counting towards to get to the tournaments at the end of the year. It's a drag for them. To get them to do different things, I think, is a lot of fun. David Eicholt put this out there today, and I agree and then agree to disagree, but there isn't a team in the Big Ten serving as a better example of how the transfer portal is changing the sport than Iowa. CBS Sports names Cade McNamara among the most impactful Big Ten transfers. I totally agree with David. I think there was no other way for them to, if it wasn't for the transfer portal, there was no other way for them to get a quarterback that could get them to where they need to be. My only concern with that is the amount of pressure on Cade McNamara to succeed at the University of Iowa. And I think Cade McNamara is a really good quarterback. He did lose his job at Michigan. So the expectations that people have are huge. And I hope for the best for the young man that he can do that. This was another one, and this was Kyle Porter, and I wanted to read this one first today, and I couldn't find it, and it finally popped back up. One thing I'm intrigued about, out of 1,000 that's out there between Liv and all this, it seems that Moynihan is now both the commissioner of the not-for-profit PGA Tour, which it is, even though they have profit and it has to go somewhere, and also the CEO of the very for-profit, not-yet-named entity. So if players oust him from the PGA Tour, he still is, by way, the CEO of the organization that runs the PGA Tour. I might be misunderstanding, but it seems he might just have done a Lane Kiffin, which is pretty funny. I agree with that. This was an interesting one to me as well. And in his name, and if I pronounce it wrong, it's Sadio Mane. He's a Senegal soccer star. He earns approximately $10.2 million annually. He gave the world a rude awakening after some fans were flabbergasted when they saw him carrying a cracked iPhone 11. I'm trying to think what iPhone we're on now. I think we're on like 14 or 15. His response was awesome. He said, "Why would I want 10 Ferraris, 20 diamond watches, 2 jet planes?" He said, "I starved and I worked in fields, played barefoot, and didn't get to go to school. Now I can help people. I prefer to build schools. I give poor people food or clothing. I have built schools and stadiums, provided clothes, shoes, and food for people in extreme poverty. In addition, I give 70 euros per month to all people from a very poor Senegalese region in order to contribute to their family's economy." That young man should be the young man that goes and talks to college students about NIL, professional players about their contracts and their status and their money and all of that. I think we would be in a better place. And I'm going to end today with Dan Orlovsky, who I love. I don't care what he's talking. I don't care if he's talking football or anything. He said, thinking of this group of players that will never get another, and the reasoning behind this was just absolute warriors when it comes to playing day in and day out. They would never miss a game, and when they were devastated. And it's a pretty good group. Cal Ripken, Kobe Bryant, Karl Malone, Robert Parrish, Brett Favre, Bruce Matthews. I think that was... I really think that is true of all of those guys. And last but not least today, 50 years ago yesterday, and I didn't get to talk about it yesterday, the most dominating performance in sports history was Secretariat at Belmont. The other horses weren't even around the last turn when he was at the finish line. That's how dominating Secretariat was. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Thank you for being in this week and listening. We appreciate it. Scott and I appreciate it. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. See you on Monday.